Welcome to The Romantic Side of Suspense with Sarah Hemmerker. In each episode, she'll talk with your favorite romantic suspense authors. They will take you behind the scenes of the writing process, giving excerpts from their writing, and share stories about their writing life.
Hello, and welcome to The Romantic Side of Suspense. I'm your host, Sarah Hemmerker, and I'm so glad you joined me. This episode, you're going to hear about this month's new releases in Christian romantic suspense. I hope you will enjoy hearing from your favorite romantic suspense authors as they talk about the background of their latest books.
I'm welcoming Cindy K. Stewart to my show to talk about her latest romantic suspense, Unending Hope. So welcome to my show.
Thank you so much, Sarah. I'm glad to be here.
So you're a heroine in this story. How does she feel about love at the start of the story?
My heroine's name is Natalie, and she is a nurse. She works for the American Red Cross. She wants to settle down, and she wants to marry for love, but she wants to have a deep and meaningful relationship with her husband. And she is in a place right now where she has been around her former fiancé, whom she had broken up with because he had shallow relationships with people. So she still loves him. It's been several years since they broke up, but she wants to have a deep relationship, and so that's where she's at.
And what about your hero in this story? What is his biggest regret?
His biggest regret is that he lost Natalie when they broke up, and he feels she's the only woman for him, but he realizes something was wrong in their relationship. He's not really sure what it was. He's trying to figure it out now that they're back together at an activity. They had gone to high school together in France at a Christian boarding school, and they've all gotten together for a wedding and one of their former classmates. And so he spent some time with her again, and he really wants to try to make things work. And so he still feels she's the only person for him.
And what about the villain in this story? What's one redeeming quality about this person?
My villain is actually the Germans, because this is a World War II novel, and the story starts out in Norway at the very day that the Germans invade in 1940. And so the villain is more than one person. You could look at it as a group, the German soldiers that are coming in, the Nazi politicians that are coming in. But a unique thing is that there were Christians. Obviously, in the German army, they had to join up, or if they were called up and they didn't go, they would be before the firing squad. So they had to go. Some of the soldiers had even studied under Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who was ardently against the Nazis, and he was a pastor in Germany, and he was a seminary professor. And some of the soldiers had actually sat under him, but they felt that they had to fight for their country, or they did not want to face the firing squad, and they didn't want their family to have the impact for not fighting. So some of the soldiers that have been impacted by Dietrich Bonhoeffer show up in my story.
Oh, cool. That's really interesting. Always wanted to know what would we do in that situation. So I'm glad you're writing about those tough decisions we have to make. And so you talked about the story setting a little bit. Why did you pick this particular setting?
Well, I love World War II, and I am a former history teacher. And World War II is my favorite era because there are so many miraculous things that happened. Although it was very cataclysmic, and there were many sorrowful things that happened, there were many miraculous things, and I like to dig those up and share them with my readers. And there aren't any Christian fiction books set in World War II Norway that I have discovered, and I've been reading Christian fiction for over 40 years.
That's great. It's always good fun to introduce readers to a new aspect of a global conflict like that. So what about this particular story, though? Why did you want to write this particular story?
Because I like to share little-known events from World War II, after I researched the German invasion of Norway, I was inspired to tell the story of what happened with the Norwegian royalty and the government, because they did not just sit back and let everything happen to them. And the Norwegians fought, even though the numbers were so against them. They fought for their freedom. And the story is just fascinating about how they escaped and also how they got their gold out of Norway so that Hitler did not get that gold to be able to use for the war. And, of course, Norway was one of the earliest countries invaded. First, it was Poland and then Norway at the beginning of the war. Of course, there were other countries that had been invaded before that, but there wasn't a war over those invasions. But in Norway, it's just a fascinating story. And on the spiritual side, I wanted to share how life will take on so much more meaning for the Christian when that person chooses to become a true disciple of Christ rather than just living for himself or herself. I wanted to also show how Christians can impact other people and other Christians in their walk for Christ. And then, I wanted to show the love aspect as well.
Ah, yes, got to have the love and the romantic part of suspense. Well, we are almost out of time, Cindy. Can you share one thing you want readers to know about Unending Hope?
Although the main characters are fictional, the events in the story are true from beginning to end. I'm very particular about historical accuracy. So that was something that I think is really important. So for the reader who loves to learn about history through fiction, this would be your type of novel.
Well, thank you so much again for sharing.
Thank you for having me, Sarah.
I'm delighted to welcome back Danielle Grandinetti to talk about her latest romantic suspense, The Neighbor and the Gift. So welcome back, Danielle.
Thanks so much for having me.
So in this story, who was the most important person in your heroine's life?
For my heroine, her name is Ollie, and her grandfather is one of her most important people in her life. And so when things go haywire, that's who she goes to visit.
Okay, yeah. It's always good to have older folks in our lives.
Yeah, he has a cabin out in the middle of nowhere, so it's just a perfect escape for her.
And what about your hero in this story? What's holding him back from finding love?
So he's had a crush on the heroine since they were in school together. He's always admired her and looked up to her, but has never been able to actually say as much and isn't sure she likes him. So he's kind of stuck, and no other girl measures up, but he can't seem to get the one he likes to pay attention to him.
I have a feeling that might change in this story.
Just maybe.
So the villain in this tale, what motivates him or her?
So he was actually the impetus behind the story. I'll talk about this a little bit in one of the later questions. But he suffers from what would have been called in the 1930s it's a long, complicated word, but basically it's what we call a stalker today. But stalker was not a term that was used in the 1930s. So I had to do some research to understand how it all worked. But he gets obsessed with the heroine, and even though she isn't interested, and yeah,
Yeah. Well, that's
gets dangerous.
yeah. Yes, of course. And what about the setting for the story? What moves this, how does the setting move the story forward?
So the series is based around a cabin in the North Woods of Wisconsin, and it's got this, it's as the Christmases go on over the course of the 1930s, it's starting to create this atmosphere of it's a matchmaking cabin, or at least Christmas miracle cabin. But this is only book two, so it's still developing that reputation. Ollie's grandfather lives in the cabin next door. So when she goes to visit, she's next door to this cabin, which is what the hero, he has to stop in to do some repairs on the cabin. So it's a perfect little matchmaking between the cabins and the grandfather.
Yeah,
Until the
good.
stalker shows up and,
Right. Things go a little
things change.
haywire. Yep. Yeah, of
Yes,
course. Well, we write
typical.
romantic suspense, so that's understood.
Exactly.
That's understood.
Exactly.
So now tell us a little bit more about how this story came about. What's the genesis of it?
So I always love when stories take like a nod of a song, like the 12 Days of Christmas. But most stories that I've read, the 12 Days of Christmas, the gifts, are usually from the true love, the hero to the heroine. And being the romantic suspense brain that I have, I had to ask the question, well, what if the bad guy was the one giving the gifts? And that's what had me doing the deep dive into that stalker was not a 1930s term. So what did it look like? And so that was the genesis of the story. And so the gifts in the story are not from the hero. They are very much from the bad guy.
Oh, creepy.
I know. It was fun.
I totally get that. We are normal people, listeners. We
We
are, but
are.
our
We
brains
are.
just go different ways. All right, so we're going to close our short time together with what is your book's tagline?
The tagline is 12 days, 12 gifts, one unlikely hero.
I love it. Well, thank you so much for sharing about the neighbor and the gifts
Yeah.
on my show.
Yes, thank you for having me.
I'm delighted to welcome Megan Short to my show. She's going to talk about her latest romantic suspense, Alaskan Police Protector. So, welcome to my show, Megan.
Thanks for having me, Sarah.
So, for your heroine in this story, who is the most important person in her life?
For sure, her niece Katie. Katie was orphaned 6 months before the story begins, and Rachel's doing her best to give Katie a normal childhood. Not easy as a single mum in a totally new community. Her life kind of basically revolves around this little girl, and she feels like she's doing a terrible job, though of course she's doing great.
Of course. Yes, that is definitely the hallmark of every mom. We're doing a terrible job and we're doing great. So what about your hero? What is his first reaction in an emergency situation?
Well, Samuel races straight into the thick of it. He's a natural protector, which is why he chose his career as a police officer. On top of that, he's carrying a lot of guilt for failing during an emergency, and in a way, he's trying to compensate for that.
Okay, I'm sure there's going to be some healing in this story. Yay!
For sure.
Yeah, so what about your villain? Who or what does your villain love the most in this story?
Oh, for sure himself. Without giving too much away, he's a typical narcissist. Nothing's his fault. Everyone's against him.
Yeah, that can definitely lead to some pretty sticky situations. So I know, I'll know he'll get caught at the end because we have our happy endings. I love that about our stories. Now, I'm going to take a wild guess, Megan, and say that this is set in Alaska. So how does the setting move the story forward?
Well, that's exactly right. Yes, I love Alaska. I always try to make settings an antagonist itself, putting obstacles in place to make life harder for my characters. So that's one of the reasons I love Alaska. Kind of like where I live in Australia, the weather's always got something that works against what people want to do as well as the wildlife. I'm not sure whether I find bears or saltwater crocodiles scarier. I was recently here in far north Queensland and you can't even go on the beach anymore because of the crocs. It's kind of wild, but the same is true for Alaska with the bears and the moose and so on. So when I was in Cordovia, which is where the story's set, I did end up going for a walk in the forest where bear activity had been recently. I didn't have bear spray, just singing and clapping. It was pretty harrowing. So, yeah, I do try to integrate some of that into my stories.
Yeah, I love that. I love the things we do, readers, the things we do to get that authenticity. So that's great. So what about the underlying positive message of your story?
Well, that was quite easy. It's a message from John, the Gospel of John, chapter 6, verse 37. All those the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I'll never drive away. So I guess the message itself is once we're marked as Christ's own forever, he really means forever. Even when we turn our backs on him, he's always there waiting for us.
Ah, I love that. We can't hear that enough, can we?
No.
No. So we're going to close our short time together with, what is your book's tagline?
To save a child, he has to risk his own life.
Ah, I love that. Thank you so much for sharing about Alaskan Police Protector.
Glad to be here, Sarah.
I'm welcoming Dana Mintink back to my show to talk about her latest romantic suspense, Fire Mountain. So welcome back, Dana.
Well, thanks. Appreciate the chance to be here.
So we're going to talk about your heroine first. And if she could have or has a pet, what would it be? And tell us the pet's name.
Well, a little spoiler. In the course of this novel, she does wind up with a very old, decrepit cat named Olive, and that is a sort of a inside joke between her and the heroine, that word Olive. So I can't tell you that part, but she does wind up with a little rickety cat, which is perfect because she drives a truck for a living, so he can go along with her.
Ah, yes. Yeah, I'm glad you have a cat. I mean, I love the dogs, but, you know, I'm a cat person, so I try to work those into my stories because I'm like, cats are pets, too. They're awesome.
Oh, they are, for sure.
Yeah. So what about your hero in this story? What is his biggest regret?
He is a retired cop, and he made a decision at the end of his career at the last call he went to not wait for backup. He was too impulsive and did not behave in a real calm and measured way, and as a result, his partner was badly injured. So that's his greatest regret.
Oh, I bet he's going to have a chance to rethink that in this story.
You betcha.
Yeah. So what about your villain? Does he or she have a redeeming quality, and what is it?
You know, I think every villain has something that is important to them. And in my case, the villain's brother, he has a very close bond with his brother. And he loves his brother very much, even though they have not made good choices and they are behaving sort of in an immoral way. He does have that love bond with his brother.
Yeah, well, I mean, family can make us do crazy things sometimes if we're not watching ourselves, so...
That is true.
So what about the setting? Why this setting for this particular story?
I think it goes back to 1980 for me. I was pretty fascinated by the Mount St. Helens eruption. Being from the Pacific Northwest, that was a very big event. I was 12 at the time. So I've just always carried that, the drama of that, and the fact that it started out as kind of an entertaining thing, like, oh, let's go watch the mountain erupt, and then became very quickly apparent that this was a natural disaster in the making. So I always held on to that, and I thought, wouldn't that be a great setting, that Pacific Northwest, Cascade Mountain region, a great place to set a novel about a volcano? right? So kind of all
Yeah,
up.
Of course. Of course. So what about this particular story? And you told us about the setting, but why this story? What made you have to write this story?
Well, I've always been fascinated with the fact that what happens if you have everything taken away from you and it's just you and you against nature, you against a villain, but there's no help arriving. And I personally have no survival skills. I really can't even, you know, like find my way around the house sometimes. So I would not survive for 2 seconds, but it's really fascinating how God equips people. And sometimes they don't know how well equipped they are until they lose everything and it's just them fighting for survival.
Yeah.
So that kind of story really appeals to me.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And I like that we get to make our heroes or heroines better at things than we are.
Absolutely. Oh, thank goodness. My personal story would be very short.
Yeah. Yeah. So I know. I hear you on that. So, Dana, we're going to close our short time together with what is one thing you want readers to know about Fire Mountain?
I want them to know that it's a story about hope. And though we are edge of deceit and destruction and disaster facing us, it's really about the resilience that God gives us and the chances that he gives us and the redemption. And I hope they find the story thrilling and compelling and page-turning and inspiring all in one. It's a tall order, but we tried our best.
Yeah, I'm sure they will. I mean, I already, like, every time I talk to someone, I'm like, okay, another book on my TBR list. It's going unmanageable, but a girl can hope.
Mine too. Not too many books, not enough time.
Yes, yes. Well, thank you so much for sharing about Fire Mountain today.
I appreciate being here, Sarah. Thank you so much.
I'm delighted to welcome back Elizabeth Goddard talking about her latest romantic suspense, Perilous Tide. So welcome back to my show, Elizabeth.
I'm excited to be here. Thanks for having me.
So at the beginning of this story, how does your heroine feel about love?
She is really disillusioned because she was falling in love months ago and thought she found the man of her dreams and someone she could trust. But he left to go on a mission, and she never heard from him again until at the beginning of the book, he suddenly shows up. He's there out of the blue to rescue her from a car sinking in Puget Sound.
Yeah, well, that's definitely not a meet cute kind of a situation there.
Right.
So obviously your hero has a few issues. So what's holding him back from finding love?
Well, he has been through a lot of very dangerous operations, and he has a lot of danger from his past that keeps coming at him and following him, and he just is trying to protect the person that he loves or he thinks he wants to be with, so he just stays away, he believes, to protect the person. So he's just really holding himself back.
Yeah. So what about the villain in this story? Who or what does your villain love the most?
This is funny to me because it seems like to me that all villains really love themselves most. But I know there's many different situations where they could be protecting someone else. But in my story, the villain is really thinking about himself so much that even those he loves come second to himself.
And that can get us into trouble, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the story setting, why this particular setting for this story?
Well, I'd always wanted to set a series on the Rocky Washington coast, so it's just part of the series Hidden Bay set on the Rocky Washington coast. And the reason is it's isolated with limited cell coverage, and it's really volatile and sometimes has violent weather, cold, it's windy and rainy, and all of these elements can add tension to the story because if you can't even make a cell phone call, and I've been there, and sometimes the satellite doesn't even work, so I don't even know if satellite phones would work that well.
Yeah, and that definitely just the isolation part of it can make it definitely more challenging.
Ramping up the tension, so I just love it.
Yeah, so what about the underlying positive message of your story?
Well, there is a moment where Joe is standing on a veranda that goes out over the rocky beach. It's like a big mansion that's on top of a cliff, and then it's got this portico or veranda that is kind of reaches out over the Rocky Beach, and she's standing there, and it's raining, and it's windy, and the waves are crashing violently against the rocks below her, and it just reflects the anguish in her soul. But then she looks down, and at her feet, carved into the decking, are the words, "He leads me beside still waters," Psalm 23:2. And so the message, that's the overall message, that no matter what is going on around us, just how horrible it seems physically or inside of us, we can still have peace, that peace that passes understanding, because He leads us beside still waters.
Oh, I love that. Yeah, that's such a great truth to weave into a story.
Yeah.
Well, we are... Yeah. Yeah, it is. Yeah, I love that we can do that as Christian authors. So fun. So we are almost out of time, Elizabeth. Let's close with, what is the tagline for Perilous Tides?
As Cole and Joe search for answers, the past rushes in like a dangerous tide to sweep them away before the truth can be revealed.
Ah, I love it. Well, it's out on later this month. So thank you so much for sharing about your book on my show.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
I'm delighted to welcome back Angela Carlisle with her latest romantic suspense, Shadowed Witness. So welcome back, Angela.
Thanks. I am glad to be back.
So your heroine in this story, how does she feel about love at the beginning?
Allie's always been a bit of a romantic. She is your person that believes in a happily ever after. She very much wants to see her family and friends find theirs. She might be a bit of a matchmaker with that. But at the beginning of Shadowed Witness, she's facing some major health issues, and she's got a niggling fear that maybe a happily ever after isn't going to happen for her.
Oh, wow. We all know this is romantic suspense, people. We know things are going to go right for her, but hey, we'll live with that tension until the end. I know, she doesn't know. So what about your hero? Where did he grow up in this story?
Eric grew up in the Cincinnati area, so a little bit north of where the story takes place in Kincaid. His home life was pretty unstable, so when he was a freshman in high school, he moved to Kincaid to live with his grandpa and spent the rest of his growing up years there.
So what about your villain in this story? What kind of motivation does your villain have?
Villain of this story, he is mostly after the money. Power plays into it some too, but his big thing is he wants the extra cash.
Yeah. I mean, we could all use extra cash. I mean, let's just be honest. But probably not getting it illegally. Don't get it illegally, people. All right, so what about the setting? How does your setting move your story forward?
Kincaid's a small town, same place book one was set, but we didn't see a lot of it in book one because main character Karina was a bit of a recluse then. But Allie's more of the social butterfly, so we see more of the town, the townspeople. You can get a feel that she's well-loved by those around, but then there's also like a nearby state park with spooky trails that some interesting things happen on. So it does play into it quite a bit.
So what was it about this particular story that made you want to write it?
Probably Allie had a big part of it. She and Eric were both minor characters in book one and felt like they deserved their own story, but mainly Allie. She's fun and dramatic at times, and she practically was begging to be featured.
Yeah, I like it how our characters sometimes are like, hey, pick me.
Right.
For the story, so I love that. So, well, we're going to close our short time together with, what is your book's tagline?
The tagline for Shadowed Witness is, a haunting attack, a killer in the shadows, a protective love.
Oh, I love that. Your book sounds great. So I just want to like hibernate and read all the books when I do these interviews. Maybe I will be able to do this. I don't know. All right. Well, thank you so much for sharing about Shadowed Witness today.
You're glad to. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for listening to The Romantic Side of Suspense with Sarah Hammerker. If you enjoyed this episode, please leave a review. You can sign up to receive notifications of upcoming podcasts and listen to previous editions at sarahhammerkerfiction.com.